The translation of the Epistle of Blessed Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, have peace with all men. Revenge not yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. The translation of the continuation of the gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. Be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See, thou tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion, making answer, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion beseeching him. I admire this centurion, this Roman officer. I'm sure that not every Roman officer was so concerned about the health of his servant. He seems like a good man. Why? Because the centurion had love of neighbor, and because the pagan Roman soldier loved this servant, because he had natural love for a man whom he could see, he prepared his soul. He prepared his soul for the invisible grace of faith. He prepared himself, working with God, for supernatural love. Love for God, for the one he could not see. What did the centurion say? I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. What does that mean? Always remember that we're not the first people to read the gospel. We turn to the great fathers of the church, Saint John Chrysostom, church father of the 4th century, Archbishop of Constantinople, whom they called the Golden Mouth. That's what Chrysostom means. he saw the same passage in this Gospel of Matthew, and he wrote about it, and we have it on paper 1,600 years later. And he said, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. Let us hearken, as many are to receive Christ, for it is possible to receive him even now. Let us hearken and emulate and receive him with great zeal. For indeed, when you receive a poor man, you have received and cherished him, Jesus." That is the commentary of St. John. So why was the centurion so courageous? Not Jewish, not pious, but so courageous as to ask the Lord to heal his servant. Because he loved. There are men and there are women in this world that have a certain spiritual openness. They know how to love. And we see that, and that is true wherever they may be, wherever they come from, even if they are Roman pagans. Today's gospel speaks about the fascination that Jesus himself had with the centurion. And this is a fascination that the Lord Jesus talks about. He remarks upon it out loud. And he looks upon this pagan soldier and he sees how deep his faith is. "Verily I say unto you, I have not found such a great faith in Israel." Those are the words of Christ. "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, says the Lord. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, says God, through his prophet Isaiah. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." For all people. We see the connection. And this pagan centurion, even though he is not in the synagogue, and even though he doesn't go to the temple, has a very deep faith. And this is a call and a challenge to you and to me. We do go to the temple. We have here a very splendid temple. We need to take advantage of these tools, these graces that the Lord has given to us. Do I have courage? Am I like the pagan centurion? Do I have at least that much courage? Or am I not like the centurion in today's story, but am I like his servant? You remember the servant, but he doesn't appear personally in the gospel. Why not? Because he is at home. Why? Because he is paralyzed, sick of the palsy. Now, what is this paralysis? A contemporary translation of the gospel, the one that you'd hear in the church down the road, says, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." Very clear. And then the charming old translation, 500-year-old translation that we use here at St. Stanislaus, says this, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented." It's more poetic. But this image of paralysis or having the palsy shows our weakness. It's not cute. It shows our difficulty in being near God. Maybe we're afraid of God. And it freezes us. It paralyzes us. There is a spiritual and even a psychological process which can make us afraid so that we cannot feel able to go to God. We don't stretch out our limbs or open up the wings of our love for God. We cannot delight in his presence. Fear, paralysis. We are sick of the palsy. And it is not God's will, not for you and not for me. And so, this morning, where are you in the gospel story? Who are you in this story? Are you ready to hurry to meet the Lord? Are you courageous? Or is there a sort of paralysis that is keeping you down or keeping you confined to your cot? Reach out to him, reach out to Jesus, or at least ask a friend, ask someone who loves you to intercede with the Lord for you. And with me and with us, say, Domine non sum dignus. Lord, I am not worthy. But that is not the end of the sentence. What do we say next? Sed tantum dic verbo. Sed is but in English. Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Don't forget the last half of the sentence. Are you sick of the palsy? And are you sick of the palsy? Tired of lying frozen in bed? Then it's time to ask God to come. If you can't get up, ask him to come to your bed. If you need the Lord, you do not have to wait. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus in this very same Gospel of Matthew. Do it now. Do not wait. If you are anxious, tell him. If you are ashamed, tell him. He waits for you in the little confessional at the back of church. He waits for you at this marble communion rail. He is here. He is in this church. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, as the very old hymn from the American South says. Tell Jesus this morning, tell him of your paralysis. Tell him about the palsy that is keeping you back from God. Tell him you are not worthy. And he will say to you, just as he says here, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast. And he will say, let it be done just as you believed it would. You reach out to him. He will stretch out his hand to you, and at that moment, you shall be healed. Amen.